Today's episode of J-Rock Concerts, the podcast, is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/50JRodConcerts and use code 50JRodConcerts for 50% off, plus 15% off the next 2 months.
A musical adventure, new artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
J-Rod Nation, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. This is your host, this in every episode, Jamie Rodriguez. Hope everyone is doing great. Weather is beautiful here in Nashville, Tennessee. Got back last week from covering a few great shows out in the state of Missouri. Some of you may have noticed on our socials, we were with our great friend Sierra Farrell in Kansas City. We saw the tour openers for Annalie Tashan and our dear sister Maggie Rose, both of who have incredible new albums. Make sure to check them out. And yeah, just, you know, mixing out on the road with creating great content for all you guys. So thanks for all the support. We are hitting the road in the summer pretty soon, so we'll be able to bring you some incredible interviews, some incredible new stuff. Don't miss a beat by just following us on our socials, J-Rod Concerts Media, or signing up to our newsletter, jrodconcertsmedia.com. Now, today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are so happy to have this Americana country rock duo. They just released a great new album called On The Way. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayland. Wayland is composed, guys, of Mitchell Arnold and Phil Bielanski. And they have been around since around 2010. And they have a great, great fan base. They're known for their fan base, the Wayland Warriors. And they are great live. One of those bands that you gotta see live. And their ethos is simple. No one outplays them on or off the stage. A mantra that is vividly brought to life in their dynamic performances and music videos. So we hope you guys enjoyed this talk. It went into really deep and interesting conversations. We talked a little bit about overcoming obstacles, longevity, work ethic, recording in the desert, and a whole bunch of other great stuff. So make sure to check the new album On The Way. And this is Wayland on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
Mitch? Phil?
Jamie?
Man, good to be here.
You just told us it was Wednesday. That was good to know.
That's a great way to say it. It is.
It is the time of Wayland.
It is the season of Wayland.
Yeah.
I mean, you just released your great new album just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. We've been on a bench.
Thank you.
How's it been since the album's been out in the world? Like, what are all the feelings, the reception?
Yeah. Well, it's exciting because I guess to me, you know, I think a new album always brings new listeners, and that's super exciting. But the biggest compliments to me are the ones of like the people that have followed us from day one. Yeah. And so it's always like, what are they going to think? The ones that, you know, we first got on a lot of people's radar. We were a pretty hard rock band, you know, and the band has evolved quite a bit over the years as Mitch and I have, you know, looked in the mirror and with each record, with each single, with each time you're stepping into a studio, you kind of try to peel back the onion, the layers, and dig deeper of who we really are, what kind of music we're really trying to make. And I would say this is the closest, you know, it's never the end journey. But so with that, because it's changed and evolved, you're wondering what those original listeners are going to think, the people that first started following us in 2012 or whatever. So to see those comments of some of those key, you know, our fans are called the Wayland Warriors. So some of those key warriors, it was almost like not a relief, but like a lot of pride and like just really appreciate the fact that a lot of them are writing, you know, on the comments of it's their favorite record yet or their favorite songs or whatever. So that's been really beautiful.
Yeah. Because it is like a sonic change, Mitch. Like it is a little bit of a swing up. We're like,
how do I do it? Yeah, it's definitely an evolution of the band.
Sure.
And I feel like no matter where we're at or what we're doing, Phil and I are always influenced by the music that we're listening to.
Mm.
And although we have our favorites that we'll never stop listening to, that list always changes. And so those influences always change. And so the sound evolves and changes with each record.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we purposely do. It's just, we write from the heart. And, you know, Phil produced a lot of this last record. And that was the first time for him producing. And he got in there behind the board. And what came out was something that was very genuine and sincere and accidentally evolved, you know, from what we had been doing. So yeah, sonically, things have changed a little.
I love that. I mean, and the whole album is great, man. There's like no filler, dude. I mean, it's just like phenomenal, every single track. There's a few that I want to talk about, like Water. Love
Water. That was cool.
That's a cool song. What's the story with that one in the Joshua Tree? I mean, like the whole experience, because I'm all desert. Like, I love going to Sedona sometimes when I need to rewire myself, run at it. And just like listening to that song, you can definitely hear that there was magic when that was made.
I would agree. I know it's one of Mitch's favorite tracks. It gets brought up in our life all the, like, that song is special because it, I think it, like what Mitch was talking about with the sound evolving, like we weren't going for any sound. Like, you just, you know, we get a song and you just start working it and you just let the song kind of go where it needs to me. Like, and yeah, being in Nashville is very influential, but before that we were in Joshua Tree when we started this record. And the desert was very influential, just in the sense that there's no rules. It's like the Wild West. And with the open sky and the cactuses and jackrabbits and, like, all, you know, every plant will kill you. And, like, it's just this license to be weird. And we'd never experienced anything like the desert. It was just amazing for us. And it was a freedom because it was just us in the studio. You know, we do whatever we want.
Western Michigan anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We could do whatever we want. So, you know, we wrote the song of... You know, that's one of my favorite things about Mitch is he's got this awesome creativity and there's no limits to it, you know? So he can have a simple conversation with a girl at a party and then...
Yeah, it was a 15-minute conversation with this girl.
But he'll hold and write this song about it, which is a story in this, and a whole universe is formed.
It's like, it was interesting because she was this just really interesting person and I'll never forget how she smelled. And it was just like, I was engulfed by it. I was engulfed by feeling and engulfed by, I was really intrigued by the conversation. And I never saw her again after that, actually.
Yeah.
But there was a really cool song that came out of it, you know.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, as we sat down and read it together, it's really about just being in the moment, being, you know, in the waters or whatever, just being engulfed in that moment, not worrying about whether it's real or fake or where it's going or if you're going to talk to this person again. But just being here in that moment, you know?
I do get a sense, Phil, and talking to you as well, Mitch, that there is a really deep sense of mindfulness with you guys, just like from the time we spent together and from the stories of your songs. Mindfulness, just being present in every second, in every moment, in every action. Is that something that, like, always came naturally to you guys, or is that something that kind of came like, later with years?
I don't know. You know, we love to experience... And that's kind of what bonded us when we first met. Like, we met in Los Angeles when we were 18 years old, and we were playing on the streets in Huntington Beach, playing Brown Eyed Girl and Hard to Handle. And when you go down to the beach and you open your guitar case and you start playing for people, you end up meeting some pretty colorful characters.
Sure.
And we would let the day lead wherever it went, you know, and just having these adventures together, and then started touring the world together and doing the same thing, really. And we still do the same thing, you know. People come in and out of our lives all the time, and we let it happen. And you know, I think as you get older, you probably, you know, you don't want to get jaded or cynical, but you definitely put your guard up as you mature a little bit. But you still want to be open to these experiences. That's what life's about, right?
So when you guys were jamming in California, who approached who? Was it you, Mitch, that approached?
Well, actually, the first time we met, I was dating a girl from his hometown. And Phil was coming out to visit because he was graduating high school and coming out that next year. And so I was already there.
Right.
And the girl that I was dating said, hey, I've got this friend coming into town. I've got class. Can you go pick him up? I said, yeah, sure. And so I drove my little Nissan
Elliott's.
Yeah.
And I picked up Phil. And we were very fast friends, immediately. And
I was the only guy that I knew in California that could get weed at the time.
that's a big...
Yeah. Instant friends. Yeah. No, he had just started playing guitar, and, you know, and I heard him sing for the first time, too, and I was like, wow, dude, can you teach me how to sing like that? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's easy, no problem. And he still hasn't taught me how to sing like that, but, you know, we started making music immediately, and it was, like, not really with any... You know, yeah, no, like, hey, we're going to start a business or anything. It was just jamming, and it really became something that we looked forward to every day, and then we couldn't wait to share with our friends. Our friends all, like, you know, just became our identity really quickly. Super awesome. Yeah, it's weird.
We were talking off camera about relationships in Nashville and all that also applied to friends and all that and brotherhood. Yes, not easy. I mean, I talked to Melly like a year ago. I know it's like hip-hop, but...
Did he mention us?
He did not.
Yeah. But he was the
weird
playing on my spring break.
Really?
When I was in high school.
Well, that Nelly,
that's only clit.
Well, that's where I'm going, longevity. Yeah. And like
it's true.
Like that thing to me, the more I mean music is like so crucial and so meaningful.
Right.
I mean, like brotherhood's like the one that you guys have, like when it goes through pandemics. Maybe some albums don't do as well as the others. Mm-hmm. Okay, crazy managers, all kinds of bullshit, streaming, TikTok, this and that. And I wanted to ask you guys about, like, what's been the secret just for the band and for you guys to just continue to do it with this zest, with this quality, and with this passion?
I feel like relationships of this kind of magnitude and this longevity, they're never perfect. And it's not about how you get along. It's about how you get through the times where you're not getting along. And that comes from a deep sense of unconditional love inside of that space and knowing not only that you love this person without conditions, but also that now we're a part of something that is much bigger than us.
Is it?
You know, Wayland and the music and the things that we do together, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 multiplied by 1 = 100 million.
Oh, sure.
Do you know? So like that energy that we have together is something that is just a lot larger than just the two of us. And I think that it's a combination of all those things together and recognizing that the power of looking at the good in the situation and coming out on the other end, still friends,
yeah,
still loves, yeah, you know? That's really important. And in this business, as you know, things are ever moving and ever changing and forever transforming. And it always takes a couple of seconds to come back to center with yourself and with each other. And that's how we've kept going. And that's how we continue to make music. And that's how we continue to walk down the street and talk to each other and all those things.
Yeah. I would dare to say that is one of the most beautiful gifts of Wayland. Just that, what you just mentioned. I'd like, you know, that the music is a vessel through messages. Like
it is. It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never been married, and I haven't been able to have a warm relationship for a while. But I would say that what we have been through together, we could probably write a book on what it means to stay together.
Sure.
Through it all, because, you know, we've gone through it all together.
Yeah. It's a family.
Yeah. I don't really know where that happened or why that happened. Because, you know, our first incarnation of this band was four guys that were in a band together for 11 years. Mitch and I had already been doing it before that. But once we like started a band and like, you know, got on the road and stuff, those four guys were together 11 years. And I mean, you know, those two people made a choice at one point to exit and walk away. And we just, it was never even an option. It's just like, okay, what do we do? You know, it was painful for us, but it was like, yeah, we didn't think about not doing this, you know? So I don't relate to, you know, and it's like a music industry thing for people to call a band a project or, you know, and maybe in the, you know, like I've never, you know, people have like, referred to this as a project or a producer or something. I mean, it's like, so not a project. This is our life, you know, like behind a microphone and not like, this is what we do. And we are always thinking about it 24 hours a day. And it's annoying to the people around us.
Yes.
It's hard to be around us, I think, on certain levels. Like some people are fascinated by it.
and are attracted to it until they're around us for a certain period of time and realize it's not going to wear off. Exactly.
I thought that we could get away and go on a vacation and not have this, but it's an obsession, and I would dare to say it's a healthy obsession, you know, because of the things that we're doing. But like Phil says, not everyone understands that, especially as they get close to the band.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's so many great things you said there, but like, you're right. When people call it a project, which a lot of our colleagues do and friends do, mm-hmm. you know, almost like psychologically, it puts
like you're just going to try it.
Yeah.
It's an experiment. Yeah, sure.
In some ways, I really feel like we never had a choice.
Mm.
You know, of course, we choose each other every day, and we choose this band every day. But there was a moment that, like, we didn't have a choice because we started playing music and saw the impact.
Sure.
And we followed that.
And I think it's like, for us, I mean, there's been some moments where Mitch and I look at each other and we're like, are we going to keep doing this?
Of course.
Like, when nothing seems to be going right and, like, you know, we didn't have 2 cents to rub together, you know? And it's always that moment when that day we get a message on Instagram or Facebook or something from a fan saying how this song helped them when they were almost going to end their life or got them through a time when they were overseas, whether it be a veteran or something like that. Like, I guess having the fan base, the Wayland Warriors, it's not the biggest fan base in the world, but they're such an amazing, true group of people that, like, they're really out. We have a great relationship, and that's what's kept us going. You know, like, we kind of can't leave them hanging, which is weird, but it's true.
Man, I could talk to you guys for 17 hours. You guys are fascinating. You mentioned marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I was married, divorced now. Take me to...
Other end. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got me thinking about that song because you're divorced as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm not an artist, but I feel like if I was a singer-songwriter, like a producer or not, like you guys are, like you are, Phil. Man, just putting your life out there the way you did in Other End, mm-hmm. in a song, like, I don't know how you guys do that. Like, I find that, like, completely mind-boggling. Like, you know, I got divorced for my thing and it's like the normal pain and all that, but I don't, it's not in a sonic
3.5-minute piece. Yeah. You don't have to sing about it all the time. Yeah.
And I'll let you answer this question, but I would have to say it's a little bit of magic, because whenever he showed me the song after he spent the 3 days alone in the woods and they came back and showed it, it was nothing short of magic.
Mm.
And in the sense of, like, he played the song, it's like, I can't say it any better myself. That's so incredible.
Yeah.
And so there is a little bit of magic in it, a little bit of, mystic argument, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know about any magic, but, you know, we toured like 300 days a year for 7 years straight. Yeah. We're, you know, from a van to a bus, and did not stop. And it all kind of blew up in our faces at one point with everybody just being like, and I think, I don't know, Mitch went home to his girlfriend's house, and I ended up going, I was breaking up with my wife, and I went, rented this Airbnb up in a little cabin in Michigan for 3 days just to kind of like process like what just happened, you know? And when I was there, my ex-wife, she turned her location off on her phone. And it, like, you get a message saying like that this person turned their location off, you know? And that was just kind of like a moment that made it very real. That even though we were separated and it was a conversation, it was like, this is happening, you know? And what else do you do? You put in a song, you sing about it, you know? And I didn't know how the song was going to turn out, but I think that was part of the healing process for me, was to write a little song that just told our story a little bit. That helped me move on, if that makes sense. And so, like, I don't have, it's not weird for me to talk about, and it's not, you know, it's, I don't, like, you know, go to a play that back to that place or anything. It's, the song did, it does that.
Right.
It's there. It's all right there. You know.
Now, so. I mean, you're in a great place now. So you almost look at.
Thank you. For sure. Very grateful. And we all, you know, we see life as, you could see chapters and the page turns. And
do you ever get feedback out of these songs, like from the characters involved?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, for that song, when we got finished recording it, I sent it to my ex-wife, and, you know, she thanked me for telling our story. You know, so that was a cool kind of closing chapter moment for me. We wrote the song way back when, which is the first song on the record, about an experience that Mitch had. We were on tour. You can tell the story, but she loved the song too, you know. So
Yeah, the girl that I wrote the song, who inspired it, she had texted me a picture saying, look what I found in my closet. And it was this picture of the letter that I had written her to break up with her while we were touring. And we laughed about it. And when we look back on that time, we talked about the good times. And I went home and wrote this little piece called Way Back When and brought it in. And obviously it's a song now. But, you know, she was really flat out and loved the song and came out while we were in Grand Rapids and had a really fun time at the show.
We've also had some people really offended by songs that we've written for, you know. It's also not gone so well, you know. So, is that about me by any chance? Like,
no.
We were just talking about Sierra Ferrell's album, like that whole thing. It's crazy because
I have not got to listen to her new record yet.
I know the characters involved, so I hear those songs and I'm just like, oof, I wonder what X person is thinking of.
Well, guys, you guys have a lot going on, so. Let me leave you guys with this. You guys talked about the Wayland Warriors, and I haven't seen you in person perform yet, but I saw you guys a bunch on YouTube and checked out a bunch of Reddit kind of boards, and everyone that sees you guys.
Oh, what is Reddit? I've never looked this up on Reddit.
It's good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. People are usually pretty brutal on there.
There's a lot of great stuff. Everyone seems to just kind of connect with you.
About Mitch, too?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, oh. Hero. Who would do it?
Just the way you guys perform live seems to really leave a mark on people. It's out there. Like, people seem to really love it.
Yeah.
It seems to be more than just a show. What do you attribute that to, that connection, you know, that you guys are able to just really dig in?
You know, that is like, that's definitely the thing that we base our whole world around. Like, you know, a lot of times even when we're writing songs, I like to think about how's this going to translate on a big stage, you know, but I don't know. You know, we do not phone it in. Like, when we go out there and play, we play as hard as we can with all of everything we have, whether there were five people in the audience or 5,000 or 25,000, you know, I know it's been said about us because it's absolutely true. We started out playing to, like, on our first tour, it was like, the door guy and the bartender in an empty room. But we played as hard as we could. We never phoned it in because I know we have a respect for the music, and we just figured that was the only way people were going to figure out what we do, you know, and latch onto it. So, the live show is just, it is our favorite thing. You do all the other stuff.
So you're
23 hours a day for that 45 minutes on stage. You know, all the other crap, the social media and the, you know, all the stuff just to get, the worst, right? Yeah. No, really, that's it. It's all just to get to that, to be on stage, that connection with the audience, seeing people sing your songs back, you know, seeing them just simply clap along, making faces, throwing guitar picks. It's a blast. It's energy. Yeah. Well, Mitch, Phil,
I mean, what else is to be said? On the way, man, I got to tell you, I think it's so far your best album. Your songwriting is on point.
Wow.
The vocals are on point.
Thank you.
Just doing research a little, or like, man, that is...
You guys are just killer.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that, man. Time, and, thanks for coming, guys. Thank you, man.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.